Psalm 119 will be starting in verse 169, which is the last section. One of two things. The first one would be the end of the psalm. There's 176 verses. It's the longest psalm. It's the longest chapter in the Word of God. I guess the second title could be, it's a concluding cry. And I think as we look at particularly the first couple of verses, we'll see in this psalm some of what I'm talking about here. The psalms are part of the section of the Bible that we call the poetical section. And so therefore, it's written in a little bit different style. It's not a story. It's not a narrative. It's not particularly like many of the other sections of the scripture. It's not prophecy as such, although there is prophecy in some sections of the book of Psalms. And so much of the times the psalms were sung. They were not, they were songs, S-O-N-G-S, that were sung. It was interesting, I was listening to message, and the preacher was talking about the psalms. And he was saying that at no time in the Christian era since the Lord came have we had a period of time like the present time when basically the church does not know very much about the Psalms. It used to be, and even 20, 30, 40 years ago, the Psalms were sung, and in many denominations, they were sung at every service. And so people were familiar with the Psalms, where today, I guess we would say that people are familiar with Psalm 23. Some people are familiar with the first Psalm, maybe the 100th Psalm, maybe Psalm, I don't know, 51, Psalm 37 or 34. There are some psalms, but predominantly the church, I think, we don't read the psalms as much as they used to. And the New Testament talks about speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And so the Psalms do that. There is a whole section at the end of the book of Psalms that is called the Psalms of Ascent. And as the Jewish people would go to Jerusalem, and for a man he was required three times a year for three of the feasts to go up to Jerusalem, and there were psalms that they sung as they came up, particularly on en route to the temple. And so the psalms were sung many times. I have a book here called The Book of Psalms for Singing. Every page is part of a psalm, and it goes through from Psalm 1 clear through to Psalm 150. If you have Psalm 119, verse 169 in front of you, I actually want to read, there's four verses here, and they go verse by verse. Now, it's not word by word, because it's put into a poetical form. And by the way, Psalm 119 is split up into 22 different sections, which refers to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the first section has to do with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The last section here has to do with the last section, the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so every verse starts in Hebrew with the same Hebrew letter. We don't see that in English because in translating from one language to another, we don't see that. I want to read Psalm 119, verse 169 to 176. And this is a poetical form of verse 169 going through 176. If you follow along in your Bible, I'll give you the reference to the verse. It does go consecutively, starting in 169. Before thee let my cry come near, O Lord, true to thy word, teach me. Verse 170, before thee let my pleading come, true to thy promise, rescue me. Psalm 171, since thou thy statutes teachest me, O let my lips thy praise confess. Verse 172, yea, of thy word my tongue would sing, for thy commands are righteousness. Verse 173, be ready with thy hand to help, because thy precepts are my choice. 174, I've longed for thy salvation, Lord, and in thy holy law rejoice. 175, O let thine ordinances help. My soul shall live and praise thee yet. 176, a straying sheep thy servants seek. For thy commands I ne'er forget. And many times as these were sung, people were familiar with the Psalms a lot more than what they are. The theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. Every verse has either a direct application in referring to the Word of God with one of the terms that's used, and I'll get to that in just a moment, or there's an allusion back to the Word of God, but the majority, there's very few that don't have a direct reference to the Word of God. This is the end of the psalm, and it's interesting to me, if you follow along, I'll read verse 169 to 176, and then I want us to turn back to verse 1, and I want to read the first 8 verses, make a couple of applications or observations, and then we'll look at the final section here. Verse 169, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And if you refer back to the first verse of the psalm and the first 8 verses, the psalm is broken up into 8 verse segments, every verse beginning with the same Hebrew letters. So this first section is actually the Aleph section. Verse 1, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Seems to me that the beginning and David, as he writes this, is really opening up the whole psalm for us. I look at these first eight verses, and I believe that they speak a lot in generalities. And the further that we go in this psalm, I believe that they more zero in and get more intimate. David gets more, I guess if you want to call it, more real. And one of the things that I really appreciate about the Psalms is they tell it like it is. It's not a flowery language, and there are different types of Psalms. But here, through the Psalm, we see David really bearing his own heart and crying out to the Lord. Turn back to verse 169. This is the climax of the psalm. And the words that are used for scripture in these, there's actually six different words which are used to refer to the Word of God through verse 169 to 175. Verse 169 and 170, we have your word. Verse 171, your statutes. Verse 172 and also 176, we have your commandments. Verse 173, your precepts. Verse 174, your law. And verse 175, your ordinances. Now, in the past, what I've done is I've basically gone verse by verse. Today, I want to do something just a little bit different. We don't have a real long time, but I want to maybe bring you in to my head a little bit. It's mostly filled with space, but some of the ways as I approach the scripture and in looking at the scripture, how I look through. And so I want us to look at this portion of scripture from three different views. The first view that I want us to look at, I suppose, is looking at it from David's viewpoint and looking at it a little bit from the outside. And to me, I see two major sections that have two different emphasis. Now, there's a bit of overlap in this, but the first four verses and the last four verses here, I find that there are two different, to me, outlooks with David. Verse 169 to 172, David has an upward look. He's talking about crying out to God. He's talking about supplication, bringing his prayer to the Lord. It's an upward, it's a vertical look that David is bringing to us. And so here, the upward one is a cry and is a supplication. There's also in the last two verses, the verse of this first four verse section, verse 169 and 170, is more an upward look. Verse 171 and 172, to me, is more an outward look. Yes, it's looking upward, but he's talking about praise. He's talking about a response from his own heart. Here he is basically saying praise, and he's talking about singing. I don't know of I don't know you in your own when you're all alone, but my wife loves to sing to herself. And usually when she sings to herself, she's singing hymns or Christian songs. She's praising the Lord. And if she's not singing, she's humming. She loves to play the piano. She's collected, I don't know how many hymn books she's got, song books, and different things. It's interesting to me as we look at this, the emphasis that David seems to be making in verse 171 and 172. Our lips uttering praise, my tongue singing of your word. A number of years ago, there was a number of verses of scripture that was put to music. And there was a group in New Zealand, actually, that came out with quite a number. Actually, I think it went into a few books of praise that was just basically scripture and song. And that stayed around. We have maybe a few of them that we still sing, but predominantly we sing a lot of choruses that are not specifically sung as scripture being sung. But David here has an upward and also an outward look, because as we praise, as we sing, and it's been interesting in the journey that Sherry and I have been on with her cancer, that particularly her, but at times for me, in talking with cancer patients or in talking with a family of cancer patients, of bringing the Lord in. And some people, you get this kind of blank expression, and yet we're praising God for the way that he has led, and for Sherry, how he has healed and brought us through with many of the different side effects and different things. And so David in this psalm, an upward but an outward, and I think it has an effect, both praise and also singing with other people. Now, they may think we're crazy, but that's okay. We're still singing and praising God. Verse 173 to verse 176, I kind of look at as a downward look, and this is kind of a view, I suppose. Now, David is the one who is saying this, but it's God, and he's asking God, and in these verses from 173 to 176, David's saying, help me, and he talks about God's hand helping him. He's talking about God's salvation, your salvation, he says, I've longed for. He talks here again about help me again, that I will praise. And here he says in verse 175, let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. And he says here, seek me in the last verse. I've gone astray. It's interesting, the whole Psalm 119, the 176 verses, and he ends on a note of his own strain, of his own proneness to wander, of his own way of getting away and really pleading. He started this section with a cry. And to me, a cry is someone in desperation crying out to God. And here we find in this section, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And it reminds me of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And it talks about turning away. And David here is pleading with the Lord, seek your servant. From heaven, seek me. And as we read through this section, there's an upward look from David. There's an outward look from David. There's a downward look where David's looking up to see what God is going to supply. And so I guess one way of looking at that is splitting it up into these two different sections. Another way of looking at this is some of the things which David actually says in verse 169. He says, give me understanding according to your word. It's always good to reminded of Philip in the book of Acts. You remember when the Ethiopian eunuch was riding in his chariot and he was reading, and Philip said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? And he invited Philip to come up into the chariot, and Philip began to give him understanding of the word of God. And that Ethiopian eunuch then accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And so David is saying here, give me understanding. I know of a lot of people that have gone through a lot of education, and they have a whole lot of facts, but I'm not sure they have a whole lot of understanding and discernment and wisdom as far as how to use that information. King David here is saying, and I believe that this psalm was probably written over quite a long period of time. David, when he finished this, may have been an older man. And as he winds up this last section, he says, give me understanding. In verse 170, he says, deliver me. He said, first, give me understanding. And then he says, deliver me from the various situations that I find myself in, from the various problem areas that he had. He says, deliver me according to your word. His understanding of the word of God was what gave him direction, which what gave him the ability to know that God would deliver him through many of these situations. Verse 171, he says, teach me your statutes. And so not only did he want understanding, not only did he want deliverance, but he wanted God to continue to teach him. I'm 73 years old. I became a Christian in 1964. I still need God to teach me more. I don't know everything that there is to know. I'm still growing in a knowledge of God's word. I'm still growing in my application, in my understanding of God's word. And David here, I believe, is saying that he still desires God to continue to teach him. And I trust that for you and I, this is our testimony as well, that we want God to continue to teach us. Verse 173, he says, let your hand be ready to, he says, help me. We all need the Lord. I can remember, and this is, I suppose, in one sense, a little, I don't know, maybe insignificant thing. Some people really like mechanical work. They like working on cars. They like tinkering with different things. A lot of that stuff drives me nuts. I had a 1962 Volkswagen Beetle, and I used to do some of the work on it because Sherry and I were in school. I was training, and couldn't afford to take our vehicle to have it fixed. I needed new brushes and a generator in this car. And I had been working. I had taken the old brushes out. I had this generator apart, and I was trying to put the new brushes in. And I worked at that thing. Must have been between a half an hour and an hour trying to get these crazy brushes in and then get the armature in and then get the whole thing closed up. And at the end of probably 45 minutes, I was in a place where all I wanted to do with that generator was just take it and throw it just as far as I could, because there was no way that I was going to get it done. And there was another guy that was there. He said to me, one of these real spiritual guys, you know, have you prayed about it? And I thought, what in the world do I want to pray about it for? And I thought, well, okay. So, Lord, you know I've been trying for the last 45 minutes to get this crazy thing put back together, and I can't do it, and I'm upset, and I just want to take this thing and throw it as far as I can. Lord, I've tried. You do it. And 2 seconds later, it was done. And I kind of felt I could have slid down through a crack in the concrete, because I thought, why didn't I do this before? Lord, I don't know how to do this. I've never done it before. I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability. And sometimes we need, as David says here, help me. I'm afraid for me, I need help 24/7. Every minute, every second of the day. And David is saying, help me in verse 173. He says, help me again in verse 175. He says, let my soul live that it may praise you, and let your ordinances help me. The word of God giving us the principles, the precepts, the way in which God desires that you and I would live. And lastly, he says here, seek me in verse 176. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Interesting, he doesn't say seek your king. He doesn't say seek your child. He doesn't say seek your sheep. He says seek your servant. David took the position here of being a servant to the Lord. And so I guess as we look through this, we could look at some of the things that David asked for. Give me, deliver me, teach me, help me, seek me. David's testimony, and we just have a couple more minutes to go. David's testimony here, David made some choices. In verse 173, we see, "Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." David could have chosen the way that the rest of the kings dealt with different things in different other lands, the way that the rest of the people, but David chose to follow the Lord. David chose to follow God's precepts. Verse 174, he says, "I long for your salvation, O Lord." And he says, "Your law is my delight." What delights us? For David, and David was rich, David had many servants, David had gold, he had silver, he had all kinds of things, flocks, he had servants, and yet he said that his delight was in God's law. He longed for God's salvation. Verse 176, he says here, "I do not forget your commandments." To not forget God's commandments, he had to know them. He had to understand them. He had to apply them in his own heart. He had to meditate upon them. And for you and I just challenge you to be in the Word daily. Know the Word. Apply the Word. Delight in the Word. In the Word, and don't forget the Word. I want to finish. Spurgeon has a multi-volume set on the Psalms called The Treasury of David, and he makes some quotes from some different people. And in verse 176, he quotes from a man I've never heard of before, called Martin Bouchier. He was a Christian man that lived during the 1800s, and he wrote this, and this is the paragraph that I want to conclude from, because I think it's fitting as we finish Psalm 119, to consider these words. This writer says, "I do not think that there could possibly be a more appropriate conclusion of such a psalm as this, so full of the varied experience and the ever-changing frames and feelings, even of a child of God, in the sunshine and the cloud, in the calm and in the storm, then this ever-clinging sense of his propensity to wander in the expression of his utter inability to find his way back without the Lord's guiding hand to restore him. And at the same time, with it all, his fixed and abiding determination never to forget the Lord's commands. What an insight into our poor, wayward hearts does this verse give us. Not merely liable to wander, but ever wandering, ever losing our way, ever stumbling on the dark mountains, even while cleaving to God's commandments. But at the same time, what a prayer does it put into our mouths, 'Seek thy servant. I am thine. Save me. Yes, blessed be God. There is one mighty to save, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation.'" I trust Psalm 19 would be a blessing, an inspiration, a challenge to your own heart.